said, "What are you doing today, honey?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "Well, that's what you did yesterday." I said, "Yeah, but I wasn't done yet." Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings, please. 1 Kings. We're going to have a little Bible study tonight, and the title of it is going to be A Word from the King. A Word from the King. It is amazing how many times that we go through life and don't worry about what the king thinks. We make decisions and we do things ahead of what the Lord would have us to do them. We do things differently from what your workplace would be. I would surmise that you would only do what your boss asks you to do. You wouldn't try to do anything outside of what your boss would ask you to do. It's amazing how flippant we could be with our Christian lives at times, where we do things maybe that we are getting ahead of God, or doing things that maybe the Lord didn't give us permission to do, or doing things that maybe the Lord didn't give us authority to do. And it's amazing how often that turns out badly and we wonder why. Well, we're going to talk about a fellow named Adonijah tonight, and we're going to see what he didn't do and why the fact that he didn't do them led to his certain demise. And we're going to have, it was very interesting for me. Maybe you'll go to sleep. But if you do, that's okay. I won't be here for very long. We'll all leave you behind and make fun of you when you are in here alone. 1 Kings chapter 1, let's all stand as we read the Word of God. I'm just going to read the first half of verse 5. The Bible says, "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king." Let's pray. Brother Bob, lead us in prayer, please. You may be seated. Thank you very much. David was one of my favorite, probably my favorite king in all of the scripture. He was aptly named after a great preacher that you all know. And I'm just kidding. King David was phenomenal in the fact that the Lord looked at him and saw a boy that was a shepherd, saw a boy that really didn't have much going for him, but God anointed him king. And when the Lord's behind you, understand this, great preachers have said, you and God make a majority. David led a life that was amazing, and the miracles that happened around him, the battles that he won, the people that were under him and their loyalty. David was at this time in the Bible, though David has gotten older. And if you look at verse 1, the Bible says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat." He had come to a time in his life where he was coming to the end of his road, and David had walked a good road. And understand this, I know that David had committed some very bad sin later on, earlier in his life, where he committed adultery and he did things that he ought not do, and he didn't get in a battle, and because of all those things. But understand this, not one person in this room is above sin. Not one person in this room is without their own problems that they've had in their life. And we got to talking about that young man a little bit that made the mistake of getting into drugs, and it hurt his life. And it doesn't take much of a person to understand that that is what happened. The drugs are what happened. But let me be very honest with you. Many people in this room right now have gone down that same road, but they were able to come back from the road. It, just because they came back from it did not make them any better or worse at that time. See, as Christian people, we must understand something. We are all sinners. Man, I hope you get a hold of that. If you've only been at this church for even a week or two, you will understand that your pastor here is full of holes. You will understand that your associate pastor is full of holes. We are weak vessels. We are vessels that do not deserve to serve God. We are people that do not deserve to have the blessing of God. We do not deserve to be called God's children, yet still here we are. Thank God for that. David had been well stricken in years. He got to the point where he was so cold that he couldn't raise heat in his body anymore, and they called on a young girl. Her name was Abishag the Shunammite. Abishag was a young lady that gave her life basically to him. The Bible says he knew her not. In other words, that wasn't why she was there. She was there specifically to keep him warm. That's all she did. This young lady served her king in the one thing that she could do. She served her king in a great capacity by helping him to live a little bit longer. This time we can understand in this nation that they were searching for the next king. They knew that David wasn't going to last very much longer, so they obviously started going down the sons. If you start with his first son, and I'm just going to run these off for sake of time, Amnon was the first son. We all know what happened to him. He was killed by the order of Absalom, the third son. Not much is known about Daniel, the second son. They also they called him Daniel in First Chronicles. His name was Chileab in this chapter, but they changed his name to Daniel over in the in First Chronicles there. But not much is known about him. And we get to the fourth son called Adonijah. Now this fourth son decided that he was going to get ahead of the program. He figured since he was number four, he was the next one in line, and I don't know where the rest of them, where Chileab was, but at this time, Adonijah obviously assumed that he was the one that would be chosen. It's amazing to me. He got full of himself. Look at what it says here. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, in verse 5, exalted himself. Nobody put him there. Nobody said, Adonijah, you are the next guy. Nobody said to Adonijah, guess what? Boy, you are sure a great guy, and I hope that you... Nobody's encouraging him here. He's going on his own accord. He's deciding in his own self, you know what? I am great. Boy, a lot of people have fallen by the wayside because of that. Man, a lot of people have suffered and stumbled because they decided that they're going to make themselves better in their own eyes. And because they make that... You'll know these people, by the way, because they usually tear other people down. See, what's Adonijah's going through here is, I wonder if he was short. He's going through a short man complex here, where he's got to literally tell the people, I'm great. So what does he do? Adonijah has himself a party. He kills all kinds of these beasts and starts having him a barbecue. Invites all these people over to come to the party, except the people that are loyal to King David. He invites all these people to come over so they can have a good time together. And there's five mistakes he makes here. Five mistakes that I see that really should have thought about these things before he started this party. The first one, he had no acknowledgement of the king. Now, I'm asking you a question. Was David still alive? Was David still king? He comes over here and he says, listen, I am going to be king. Let's look at what it says in verse 5. And then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. He prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. In other words, he was in line. He thought he was in line. And he conferred with Joab. Now, Joab ran with the king for a long time. Joab should be. Matter of fact, Joab didn't go with Absalom when Absalom went crazy. He stayed with David. He was one of David's men. But now Joab says, well, I see who's going to be king next. I'm going to run with him. Look what this says. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. Now, Joab knows better than this. Joab should have seen what had happened before. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to challenge you to acknowledge your king before you make your decision on who to follow. Acknowledge your king before you realize that you've made a mistake in following the wrong guy. I'm going to be honest with you and right up front. Get your eyes off men anyhow. Good Lord have mercy, we're in the battle here and we need people to follow Christ, not follow men. We're in a battle here that we don't need people to be standing up on a chair saying, I am king. We need to have men that are on their knees telling God, proclaiming that he is king. And we ought not be looking to go ahead and exalt ourselves. Be careful What happens is this. We see somebody that we deem as successful. We automatically put to them that they must have God on their side. They must be godly, Brother Kataiver, because look at all the success they're having. Well, if that's success, then Job was a miserable failure that ignored God. Yeah. All the things that happened to Job, how many people were following him? Was Job a godly man? Yes, he was. Boy, that's crazy, isn't it? In this world, we forget so often, so quickly, what the Bible tries to teach us about following men, about following people. God says, hold up my book, magnify my word, look at me, let me be your God. It was Jesus Christ that led Mike to talk to Chuck today. Or should I say Brother Chuck today. If you let the Holy Spirit, let God guide and direct your life, you'll find yourself following men a lot less often. Joab should have known better. But he figured, boy, this must be the next guy. Adonijah, goodly man, he must be the next one. Didn't say Adonijah was a bad man. Didn't say Adonijah was an evil man. Said Adonijah was a goodly man. Just because a man is goodly does not mean God's with him. Boy, that's good preaching. I'll sign my own Bible at the end. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, listen to this now, Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Have courage to stay with the man of God. Have courage to say, I don't care where you go. I'm staying right here. I'm going to be loyal to the man that has stood with me for all these years. I'm going to be loyal to King David because he took us through these battles. He made Israel great. He combined the kingdoms. He's a good king and a goodly man, and the Lord is definitely with him. I'm staying with my king. These men decided, you know what? You may be the next king, but until I've got a word from the king, I'm going to stay with the king. Verse 9, Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zezoheleth, which means smooth serpent. I thought that was interesting. Which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he forgot their phone number. Everybody else got an invitation to this party, except the people that were loyal to it. I wouldn't invite the mighty men either. Because you know what the mighty men are going to do. They're not going to show up and just take it and say, oh, you know what, you are the king. Let's bow in obeisance to you. No, the mighty men are going to show up and hack some heads off. That's what they're going to do. So they didn't get called. Adonijah says, you know, you better not bring them. You better not bring that priest. You better not bring Benaiah. Don't call Solomon. See, Solomon, if you look back in Samuel, you will see that Solomon was loved by God. Make no mistake, Solomon was supposed to be the next king, and I believe Adonijah knew this. I don't believe this was a secret. I believe Adonijah was trying to hijack the king. Look what it says here. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Not only did he have no acknowledgement of the king, he had no authority from his king. I get a kick out of it, and I tell you, the older that I get, and I'm not old, I'm young. The older that I get, though, I realize more and more every day what being called really means. I will not apologize and I will not make excuses for the fact that I'm called to be a Baptist preacher. Amen. What is frightening to me is that there's men out there that are doing a lot of preaching that will admit that they're not called. Yep. What's amazing to me is that there's folks out there that believe that they're doing what God wants them to do, but then they'll tell you right away that they're not called. I don't believe a call. If you're not a called man of God, how in the world are you pastoring? How in the world can you pass? You've got no authority. You've got no authority. We banter around the fact that anybody, man, you can t- 10 minutes of filling out a form and sending it in the mail can make you an ordained minister. Where's your authority coming from? The U.S. Postal Service? I'll never forget the day that I surrendered to preach. I was right here. Stood right here, and I know my dad, and he probably knew what I was coming over to say. And I had preached lots of times in this church. It was nothing new. I had been behind that pulpit. I have delivered messages. It was not that big of a deal. And I went up here, and I figured, well, all I'll do is I'll strut up there just like a rooster, and I'll tell this is what is going on. God's called me, glory to God, and when I get there, he's going to know it. And I got I couldn't even breathe. I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up to make you feel good. I couldn't breathe. I was ashamed. I couldn't even lift my head up. I was ashamed not of God. I was ashamed of who I was and who he called. Brother Mike, the Holy Spirit gave you direction this afternoon to go talk to Chuck. Do you realize who you are? Man, you are a sinner, brother. You are clay in the hands of an almighty God that used you today to be a tool to lead somebody to him. When he called me to preach, I walked these final few steps and told my dad, I didn't know what to say. I just know I was called to preach. And a lot of times people are called and they ignore it, Brother Katire. They ignore it. Adonijah was not called to be the king, but he wanted to take it. Now let me explain something to you. Everyone in this building can serve God. Everyone in this building can serve God. Very few in this building are called to preach. Big difference. I make no excuse for that. I make no apologies for that. The Lord called me to preach. Take it up with him. But understand this, every one of us is called in some way or another to serve God. Every one of us in some way or another is unworthy to do that. And every one of us, even though we're unworthy, are still called. But you ought not try to take that which God did not give you. Don't sit there and say, well, maybe I'm a preacher, and then go try to preach. Well, maybe I'm a preacher, but I'm not sure if I'm called or not, and then go up and try to be a pastor. It's going to end badly. See, what we've done is we've taken away the acknowledgement of who God really is, and we've decided to do things on our own. Because I'm going to exalt myself. I can do these things fairly well, and because I can do them fairly well, I've got the talent. I'm just going to go ahead and do them all on my own. No, that's taking away the acknowledgement of your king. Then you're taking away the authority of your king to call you to do it that what you're supposed to do. Do you know you don't find out what you're supposed to do the first time you ask? Did you know that? Well, what do you mean? Shouldn't God tell me right away what I'm supposed to do? He's given us a lot of commands in his Bible of things that you don't have to pray about. Do I pray about soul winning? Brother Mike, you ain't got to pray about going to talk to Chuck about being one to Christ. You don't have to pray about that. He told you, go. Don't have to command. We don't have to pray about praying. We have to pray about reading our Bible. I'll pray about reading my Bible, but, you know. He didn't tell us that. He said, read your Bible. But there are certain things that we've got to seek out the king for. We've got to acknowledge that he's got authority and maybe give him the authority in our lives. Third thing, Adonijah was not appointed to be the king. Now understand this, David didn't appoint him. David said Solomon should be king, but understand this was not David's call. The powers that be are ordained of God. It was God's call who the next king was to be, and that was to be Solomon, not Adonijah. So Adonijah is, again, acting out of turn. He's ignoring what God has to say and ignoring what King David has to say. And then, I like this one. With his decision, there was no advocacy from the king. There was no advocate there. He had a group of friends that were with him only because they were in it for what they could get. They weren't supporting Adonijah because they thought he was the best man for the job. They weren't supporting Adonijah. The only reason they were with Adonijah because they figured Adonijah was next. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll just go ahead and follow him because he seems to be the next guy. And if we're the first on board with the next guy, maybe we'll be number one. Man, that's just like saying, can I be second the rest of my life? That sure would be great. I'd just like to be number two the rest of my life. He's going to be great. I'll just follow him. Joab had the most wonderful position because David relied on him. David gave him opportunities and jobs. Joab decided he was going to be subservient and turn his back on his king. Even when Absalom was chasing David and all David had to do was turn and slay him, David refused. Joab could have said, David, you're crazy. This man's going to kill you if he gets the chance. Joab stuck with him. Joab stuck with him, and then when it comes this time, he's going to turn his back. Now listen, I am thankful that we're in a church that is filled with loyal people. I'm thankful we're in a church that's filled with people that are loyal to my preacher. I really am. He is the man of God here.
Right.
Let me say that just a couple more times for you. He is the man of God here. One more time. He is the man of God here. The Lord uses authorities in our life. He's my boss in more ways than one. I know that. If I get out of line for 1 minute, he's right there for me to help me get back in line. And that's okay. But understand this. As loyal as I am to my dad, and there's nobody more loyal to my dad than I am. If he goes outside of a word from the king, my loyalty's to the king.
That's where it ought to be.
See, we live in a day and age where it could do that. I'm fairly confident that your preacher is going to stay right where he's too ornery. And I think he's raising ornery guys all around him. Ornery guys all around him. Ornery. Cotiver, ornery. You could never get him mad, but one of these days, he told, I feel like the Lord is calling me to preach. Can you imagine Godiver preaching? Whoo, that'll be fun to watch. That southern draw you have, brother. Adonijah steps outside of the authority of God, out of the authority of his king. He doesn't acknowledge his king. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And let's see what happens to his life. David decides that it's time for him to speak up. David decides that he's going to go ahead and name Solomon king. If you look over in verse 39 of 1 Kings chapter 1, the Bible says, and Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? I thought I was with the number one guy. The horn was blowing because the king had made a word. Because the king had decided, this is what I say. And the whole city was glad for it. Don't think for 1 minute that the city wanted to follow somebody that was going to hijack the authority of the nation. They wanted a king that was anointed by God. That was not Adonijah. So when the uproar of the city comes, now Joab's a little excited. While he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said to him, come in, for thou art a valiant man and bringeth good tidings. He wants somebody in that can come in and fight. I'll hide behind you. It's like Gordon coming in. Gordon, come quick. I'll stand behind you. Because whether Gordon's valiant or not is irrelevant. He's a mountain. I'll take my chance of standing behind a mountain. Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily our Lord, listen to this now, verily our Lord, King David, hath made Solomon king. You got yourself a word from the king. And the king hath sent him with Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and have anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. If you skip up to verse 50. But look, we have one more. I like this. All the guests, verse 49, and all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. The cockroach infestation had the light turned on and whoosh, they were gone. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And I want you to understand this, and this is where we're going to get into the next part of this. He makes the right choice of the place he went next. Adonijah realized that he had done wrong. He realized that he had made the wrong move, and he went to the right place. He went to the altar. The reason he went there was not right. The reason he went to the altar was because he was afraid of the king. Let me help you. Preacher talked this morning about being in fear. The Lord does not want you to be in fear, but you should fear him. There's a big difference in those two things. Fear of the Lord is doing what the Lord tells you to do. Because if Natalie didn't do what I told her to do, guess what? My belt's coming off. Because they need to obey their dad. That's fear. But she loves me and I love her and she doesn't fear me. Do you see the difference? Understand this. Adonijah goes to the altar. He goes to the altar and says, I'm afraid of Solomon. Make him swear. Make him swear that he won't hurt me. Can I ask you a question? What do you go to the altar for? You go there to pray. What else do you go there for? You go there to repent. One of the greatest things that Adonijah, matter of fact, the thing that Adonijah should have been doing at that moment, when he heard the word of the king, realized that he was out of bounds, realized that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, realized that he forgot the authority, forgot the acknowledgement, he forgot the advocacy, he forgot all those things, realizing that he was in this position where he was not doing right. He goes to the altar, which is right, but when he got there, he wasn't going there to say he was sorry. He was going there to barter a deal. Please, please give me a deal here. Tell him not to hurt me. Let's look what the Bible says. Let's look what the Bible says. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah, this is verse 51, feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me this day, today, that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, that's a word from the king. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, go home. Is that what that says? Go to thine house. Go home. He had another chance, in my opinion, here. Another chance. He wasn't at his part of godly wisdom at this moment, but Solomon was wise anyhow. He was at a point where he had the opportunity. He could have slayed Adonijah right there. He could have taken him out right there. The king just, one move of his scepter, and this guy's gone, understand that. But he's decided, go home. Go home. You've heard my word. My declaration is, if you're a worthy man, I won't hurt you. If you're a worthy man, you'll be all right. But understand this. One of the messages that I'll never forget, the preacher just preached, was talking about when Joshua went through and rid all the land of all the worldliness, of all the, let me explain something to you. This is a point in time where worldliness had to be removed from the kingdom. Adonijah was part of that. Adonijah had all Israel looking on him. Adonijah had all, it's like me standing here saying, you know what? This is a good example. I'll use myself as an example. This is a good example. Associate pastors all over the country do this to their preachers, by the way. Associate pastors all over the country do this to their preachers. I can come to you and say, you know what? The old man's lost it. Don't hurt me. I don't mean any of this. He's making the wrong decisions for this church. He's doing things that, you know what, I just am not so sure they're good anymore. I don't know, if I were you, I might not support him anymore. Associate pastors have done that all over the country. Yes. Exalting themselves. Right. Over God's ordained man. Yep. Let me explain something to you. I like this. It's good preaching. The minute that we think we're better than God's plan, did you hear what I just said? The minute we think we're better than God's plan, I wonder if we should go grab the horns of the altar ourselves and repent. Now, does he make mistakes? Hallelujah. Do I make mistakes? Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Yes, lots of them, daily. But understand this. He's your pastor. I'm your associate pastor. God ordained me to be here as your associate pastor. Like that? How's that sound? That's fun, isn't it? I don't make excuse for that. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't apologize. But if you think for 1 minute that you're going to have an associate pastor in here that tries to usurp that man, you're crazy. Amen. Now, why would you say that, brother? You think to make him feel, and he knows where I'm at with him. He's my dad, but he's my pastor. Right. Big difference. I would never want to do that to the man of God. I would never want to think for 1 minute that I'm better than him. I would never want to think for 1 minute that I got a little bit more going on than he does. I would never want to think for a minute that maybe I should be the next guy when it gets time. Maybe I should be the guy. I would never want to sit there and think for a minute and contemplate and waste my time exalting myself, thinking, you know what I've got? Because you know what that does? I cease to acknowledge who he is. I cease to realize his authority. Then I will no longer have his advocacy. You think he's going to be happy with me saying those things about him? You ever seen him mad? Eddie, what's it look like? Adonijah runs to the altar. And by the way, this isn't, I just use myself and him as an example. It's in your everyday lives. Kataver, let me ask you a question. Sarge, go up to a major in the army and flick him right in the forehead. Huh? Why? Because he's his authority. You're not going to do that. You're the Sergeant Kataver is not going to walk up to a man that is his senior or his superior and say, hey, I'm better than you. Because his reply is going to be, drop then and give me 100. Right? See, what you got to understand is this. The Lord has put authorities in our life. The Lord has put people that have step authorities in our life. He's put people there to watch over our souls. Let me tell you something. No man in the church has a greater responsibility than your pastor. Why? Because he careth and watcheth for your soul. It's amazing how quickly we forget the authority of the man of God. How quickly we forget his advocacy of the man. Do you know how many times the preachers in this church lift your names up to heaven to pray for you and care about you and love you? How dare we get outside of God's step authority? How dare we get outside like Adonijah did and decide, you know what, I'm going to be king. My dad said this. I love this. If you want to be the preacher, come take the seat. Can I help you? You don't want that seat. You don't want that seat. And I'll tell you why. If God hasn't called you to that seat, stay out of that seat. Because the pastor has one of the most difficult jobs. This isn't even in my notes. You must have needed this today. The pastor has one of the most difficult jobs on the planet. He has to watch families hurt because a grandson died at 27 years old. He has to feel the pain of every family. He has to watch the hurt and torment of every child that has gone astray. He's got to fight the good fight. He's got to fight for the Word of God. He's got to fight for his people. He's got to fight for his God. He's got to tell people about Jesus Christ and always be excited and always be happy and full of joy. He's got to decide that in his life he's going to lead it correctly so that he can be blameless, so that he can have no reproach against him. He's got to lead a life that's above board, that's in a glass house. He's got to lead all these lives. Are you sure that you want to be a pastor? Let me help you out today. If you're not called to be a man of God, don't be. But if you are called, don't ignore the call. That's not even in the notes. I may not finish by 7. Seeing as how it's already after 7. But I'm almost done. Solomon sent, they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to the king. And Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. I'm going to paraphrase the rest of this. Adonijah had a second chance. Solomon did nothing to him at first. Adonijah then goes to Bathsheba. Bathsheba supposedly has the ear of the king because, and by the way, David has passed now. She has the ear of the king because that's her son. She has the ear of the king, so he goes to her, little chicken. He goes to her. And he says, Bathsheba, I know that anything I'm going to ask of you, you will take to the king, and he will not say no to thee. So when you go to the king, I want you to ask him this for me. Now, you would think, Brother Mike, that some of the things that would come out of his mouth were, I'm sorry. I didn't mean what I did. That was a bad thing, and I'm so sorry. Can I serve you now? Can I become part of this nation? I'm so sorry that I did that to David, your daddy, our daddy for that matter. I'm so sorry. I should have never done those things. How could you do that to your own dad, by the way? I don't understand that. Things that happened to David, how could you do that to your own dad? He decided that, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I want something from you, Bathsheba, and this is what it is. And I've contemplated, I've thought about it. I've been home, and I've thought about all these things, and this is what I want. I want you to give me that girl. What? I want you to give me the girl that kept my dad warm. That's what it says. He asked for the girl. I want you to realize something. The Lord desires us to look to him. I know that wasn't the most profound statement I've ever made, but it is that simple. God wants us to look to him. Adonijah ends up being put to death, but he didn't have to be. He ends up, his life ends up in destruction. And Joab's life ends up in destruction. The other fellers that went with Adonijah end up in destruction. So let me caution you on this, and I'm all done. Beware of who you follow. Beware of who you follow. Because like it or lump it, the Lord has put authorities in your life. He's put authorities in your life that you need. Well, he's not as dynamic as Dr. Gray, but he's who you need. Well, he's not as strong and as powerful as Brother Lester Roloff, but it's who we need. And God has appointed us a man. God appointed Israel a man. That man was David. His son Adonijah ignored that. Did what he wanted to do and got outside of the authority of God. And because he got outside of the authority of God, his life ended up in destruction. And here's what's amazing to me. And by the way, I am not asking you to follow blindly your leader. I don't want you, and he doesn't want you to follow him blindly, whatever he says. This is not a Jim Jones campus here. So don't get pharisaical with me out in the parking lot afterwards. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. God loves you. God has given us a plan. He's given us people in our lives that are going to help us get through what we need to get through in this day and age. We are not owed anything. Maybe Adonijah felt because he was the fourth son that he's owed this shot at being king. Maybe he felt like he was owed this grand chance of running all of Israel. He was the man because he was next born. I've got news for you. You're not owed anything. No man is owed anything. Everything we've got is of God, and I'm thankful that God has even included us in his plans a little bit. So don't tell me later on, well, Brother Dave just telling us to blindly follow. I'm not telling you to blindly follow. What I am telling you is this. Be loyal to the man that God gave you. Amen. Adonijah ought to have been loyal to Solomon. He ought to have been loyal to King David. He ought to have been loyal. But he got outside of the authority. He got outside of his advocate. Who's going to fight for you if not your king? Think about that. Who's going to be your advocate if not your king? Are you going to get outside of Jesus Christ's authority in your life? Because he is your advocate. Are we going to get outside of that? I started out the lesson today, and it's more of a lesson than a preaching message. I understand that. Waiting on a word from the king. And I'll say this and I'm all done. We've got in our possession, if you're holding a King James Bible in your hand, you've got 810,000 plus words that are given to us as a word from the king. Adonijah's mistakes were because he tried to get ahead of what God was going to do. And God wasn't going to use him that way. If Adonijah would have just waited for a word from the king, waited to see what God wanted to do with his life, waited. God has a purpose for you that he does not have for me. Because he's got that purpose for you that he does not have for me, don't seek to fill my purpose. Don't seek to fill my purpose because that purpose is not given to you. I don't want to fill the purpose of Bob Shell. That's Bob Shell's job. He's been called by God to fill this very specific purpose. And if he fills this purpose, he's done what God has wanted him to do. Why would I want to take his place? Why do I want to do what Brother Bob's called to do? I want to do what I'm called to do because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm waiting on a word for the king. I'm waiting on a word from the king. And when I get that word from the king, I'm going to do what the king tells me to do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And that's what I'm asking you to do in your life. Wait on a word from the king. And when Brother Katira, when you get that word from the king, don't wait. Go ahead and fill the word of the king. Go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. Go ahead and do what God's commanded you. He didn't want Adonijah to be the king. He wanted Adonijah to be his servant. He wanted Adonijah to be his son. I notice that Adonijah wasn't with his daddy when he died. I would want to be with my dad when he died. But Adonijah was filling another purpose other than the one God gave him. Fill what God has given you to do. And wait for a word from the king. And when you get that word from the king, don't wait to fill it. Do what God's asked you to do. Do what God asked you to do. You get your word from the king. And you feel it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach here tonight. Lord, I know this message was a little bit different, Lord, and I'm not ashamed of that. Lord, I did exactly what you asked me to do. Lord, help me. Help me to be willing to wait on a word from the King. Help me to be able to wait for your perfect will and your perfect way. Help me to be a Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 Christian, leaning not unto my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledging you and letting you direct my path. Lord, help me tonight. Help me tonight to seek you out in a special way. And I pray to God, oh God, let Bethel, like the Bible talks about churches being in one accord, in unity, going forward, following you, their King. Lord, let Bethel wait on a word from the king. And when you give us that word, Lord, let us go forward and let us follow you in every way that we're supposed to follow. Oh God, anoint Bethel. Anoint the people that serve here. Let them realize their purpose. Let them feel their purpose. Let them seek out your word. And when we get an order, let us do it. God, be with these people tonight. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know how much you care and how very special it is to get a word from you. How very special it is that you would use old sin-cursed, just vile people to be your servants, to be your soldiers. Lord, I'm thankful that I get to serve you. Lord, help us all to look to you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.